Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
I'm obviously happy I got there. It'd be nice to finish the year number one, but you know, I'm happy with that I managed to get there. But I was pleased that I felt really nervous before the match. I didn't feel flat or, you know, anything like that, which that was the most pleasing thing about today for me. You know, obviously it was great to win, but that, you know, sometimes after, you know, you achieve something big or something that, you know, you maybe didn't expect, so it can be quite easy to have, you know, a letdown and feel a little bit flat. But I felt really nervous before the match today, and I was happy about that.
Andy, you said on court that you're determined to do well at the O2, where you've not always done your best. Is that the sort of thing that will keep you interested all the way to the end?
Yeah, I think so. And obviously, you know, the last couple of years have been tough there for me. So yeah, I obviously want to try and play my best tennis there. It's not, you know, not necessarily about winning. I just want to play my best and finish the year on a good note in that respect, because some of the years, you know, it has been tough for me there. So hopefully I can play some good tennis there. I'll take a few days break now and then, you know, rest up a little bit and get ready for one big push the next 10 days.
And if you could pick one thing Jamie Delgado helped you with, what would it be?
Well, I mean, it's consistency of work, you know, having someone there that's constant, like, all of the time throughout the year for, you know, every single practice session that I've had this year, he's been at. You know, that's not the case with anyone else on my team. You know, they aren't there every single day. They don't see, you know, everything that I do, you know, all of the time. And, you know, he does. So, you know, we were friends before, but I think, you know, we have a very strong relationship now that, you know, I have a lot of respect for the fact that he's made that sacrifice to travel and work as much as he has this year. And, you know, we've obviously, you know, had great results together. And obviously, you know, the rest of the team make a big difference as well. But I just think having that one person that's there all of the time that sees everything that goes on, you know, I think is good. But I think for me as well, to have someone that is sort of putting that effort in as well, I respect that a lot.
Yeah, Andy, how do you feel mentally and physically after this run you're on? And is it less tiring if you're winning?
No, I mean, the matches are obviously what are tiring. I think it's just the mental side of it. Like, you know, if obviously losing is tougher than winning. I mean, the physical act of playing the matches is obviously, you know, depending on if you play for 2.5 hours, is tougher than playing a match that's an hour, obviously. But like I said, the thing is that when we aren't playing matches, like if I lose this week, it doesn't mean that I take necessarily extra days off. You just spend more time on the practice court or more time in the gym. So no, I wouldn't say I feel sort of more or less tired at this stage of the season physically. But mentally, I've been in a good place for a long time now this year, and I don't feel stressed at all really away from the court. So when I still find the matches stressful, but like in the build up to match and stuff, or you know, when I'm back at home, I'm, you know, just in a good place right now, and that helps.
Andy, actually I'm going to go to your hometown Dunblane tomorrow, and you're from the town where the tennis is not the huge, even the Scotland is not the huge tennis region. Does it make you something special that you became world number one town?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's incredibly rare, you know, what me and Jamie have done coming from there. You know, there's a few tennis courts there, but they're not the best quality tennis courts you'll see. And yeah, there's not been, you know, there hasn't been many tennis players from Scotland over the years. You know, and a lot of what we've done is big credit, you know, to our parents and obviously our mum, who was a tennis coach at a young age. She sort of helped us, you know, helped us learn the game really, and helped us enjoy the game at a young age. So we've obviously both got a lot to be thankful, you know, to her for. But yeah, I would think without our mother, you know, we certainly wouldn't have become professional tennis players, because why would we? You know, no one plays tennis or played tennis in Dunblane back then.
Andy, you've said that now you're the world's number one, you're going to reset your goals and look at how you can continue to improve. What will you do as part of that process?
I'll sit down with my team, you know, maybe before the tour final starts. Ivan arrives on Wednesday. So yeah, I'll sit down with my team and basically, you know, look at what my schedule is going to be for the beginning part of next year, and sort of set, you know, goals through to, you know, March time probably, because I've found that I've worked better when I've had more short-term goals. And yeah, I'll sit down and chat with them about it then.
Andy, the best form of your career, I mean, how confident are you that you can win the Australian Open and the French Open next year to complete, you know, the Grand Slam haul?
I mean, I have no idea. It's so far away, really. I mean, so much can happen and change in a small space of time, as I've found out, you know, a number of times during my career. These last few months, you know, no one would have expected what I've done the last few months in the summer, really, or after the French Open. So this was unexpected to me as well. I didn't expect it. And, you know, I've also gone through a period where I'd had the best sort of year of my career, where I'd won the US Open, the Olympics and Wimbledon. I think I was in the final of the Australian Open as well, and then after that I had back surgery, you know, a few months later. So I have no idea what place I'm going to be in 5 or 6 months time. But yeah, I mean, I'd love to win the Australian Open, because it was just the next sort of major goal at the beginning of next year. Because I've been close a number of times and never quite done it, so obviously I'd love to try and win that.
Andy, you said you were nervous going into the match today. What was that? Because you knew it was the first time you'd be playing, having secured the world number one position. And do you think, is that going to be a factor in the future? Do you think it's going to feel different going on court as the world number one?
I have no idea. I mean, it might only be for 1 week, so, you know, I might as well try and enjoy it, you know, because I could lose it at the tour finals and never be there again. So once I got on the court today, it was fine. I wasn't thinking about rankings or anything. I was just trying to win the match. But beforehand, I was just happy that, you know, I was really up for the match and really wanted to try and win today, and that I didn't feel like, okay, well, you know, my work this week was done in a way. So I was really happy about that, and, you know, hopefully feel the same way going into the tour finals as well, which, you know, I'm sure I will, because, you know, you're competing against the best players and in front of a, you know, a big crowd there, and yeah, hopefully I'll be up for it.
You'll stay up late tonight, or possibly get up early tomorrow morning to see the rankings computer tick over and see your number one by your name. And has it actually sunk in yet?
No, I won't stay up for it. But yeah, I mean, maybe it hasn't really, because yeah, it's all happened really, really quickly. Yeah, I don't know if it's. I don't really know if it's sunk in or not. It feels different, certainly, to when I'd won, you know, Grand Slam or anything, you know, anything like that, or Olympics. Feels quite different, maybe just because of the way it happened, really. You know, whereas when you play a final, it's kind of, you know, you win or you lose, whereas with the number one ranking, it's not really like that. you know, you could, I could still potentially have had a chance to do it next week, and obviously didn't go on the court against Milos, so it feels kind of different.
What are the big differences for you to playing a tournament in Paris or Vienna or even Shanghai and playing in London, where there'll be so much more, you know, local interest?
I mean, I always have dealt with that. Well, I think when I played Davis Cup or, you know, Olympics or any of the grass court tournaments, I've always enjoyed playing in front of, you know, home crowds. You know, just I've never